Our next case this morning is 2022-0304 in the matter of Stingray Pressure Pumping, LLC versus Jeffrey McLean, the tax commissioner. Good morning. On behalf of the appellant, Edward Burnett.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chief Justice Kennedy, may it please the court. The issue today is a sales tax exemption for equipment that combines water, sand, and chemicals along with pressure to actually fracture the underground, open it up so that oil and gas can get in, can come up to the surface. It's the actual equipment that does that. We have a specific exemption that's provided. Well, the equipment is depicted on page 8 of the of our brief. The specific exemption, which appears on page 15 of our brief, and the full text of the amendment begins in the appendix at 74, is very specific with respect to equipment used in hydraulic fracturing. And the General Assembly specifically provided this exemption. The way the Board of Tax Appeals has read it, it's completely out of the picture. There is nothing that qualifies as hydraulic fracturing. If this equipment doesn't qualify, nothing does. And the issue is whether it's used directly. And what the board was saying is that it's not used directly, it's preliminary, but it is not preliminary. It is actually the very equipment that does what needs to be done. This is hydraulic fracturing. Hydraulic refers to fluids. I think the position was that the only thing that's happening underground is the pressure. But that isn't true. Pressure won't do it. Pressure has to be combined with the hydraulics, the water, the chemicals, and the sand in order to make this happen. If you did just the fracturing with pressure alone, the fractures would open up, but would close immediately when it ended. It's very significant that all the equipment is used simultaneously and that it's all used in unison, controlled by the data van. So what's happening is that there's pressure that's being created underground, and it has to be moderated. So you're constantly changing the water, the chemicals, and the sand, and adjusting the pressure as well in order to make sure that the process is working correctly. In this case, we're coming with a statute that came in the middle of the case for us. We had appealed to the Court of Appeals, the 10th District, and at that point in time, the General Assembly came in and amended the statute. In Section 3 of the statute, they said that it was to be liberally construed. And what that means in this case is that the General Assembly thought it was important enough that it needed to be, the amendments, the clarifications, needed to be implemented immediately. Don't wait for transactions that occur after the effective date, but apply them to open audits. And that's what was done. The Court of Appeals found that that was appropriate, and the Court of Appeals found that there should be liberal construction. In response, the Board of Tax Appeals said, the Court of Appeals has said we should apply this liberally. We're not going to do it. We're going to apply this very narrowly. And they also said that they had an earlier decision, the international frack case, that had simply said that blenders, which is one of the pieces of equipment in question, that the blender was taxable. And they said that they were just going to follow that, and they were going to apply it narrowly. And they didn't explain why they had the authority to disregard the Court of Appeals and the General Assembly when providing that it was to be liberally construed. For her part, the tax commissioner argues that the amendment didn't change anything, that they could keep doing what they've been doing all along. So those are absolutely contrary to what the General Assembly has said in this case.
So, I understand some of your arguments, but when I get to the van, it's hard for me to see how that's not excluded as a motor vehicle. The thing transferred, the motor vehicle is specifically excluded from the definition of thing transfer. So how can the van not be a motor vehicle?
Well, Your Honor, first of all the equipment we're talking about is motor vehicles, because it's all either in a motorized van or it's on the back of a semi-trailer. And so...
Well, being on the back of something seems different than actually being a van, right? I mean, if you pull something, if you... I can see how that's not a motor vehicle, but something that you can drive seems like a motor vehicle.
Well, Your Honor, the only use of it being motorized is to get to the site. And that's also true of the trailers. There's no question that the semi-trailers, all the other ones that they're not really objecting to, they're all motor vehicles.
But no one would say a trailer is a motor vehicle, right? Oh. It might be pulled by a motor vehicle, but you wouldn't say a trailer is a motor vehicle.
It's defined as a motor vehicle, Your Honor. It has to be transferred. The sales tax is paid on the transfer because it is a motor vehicle. So they are all motor vehicles. But even if you were to say that the trailer, isn't covered under, and I should mention, it's 5739, 02B, 42Q, and under little I, one of the categories is the, if it's on the back of a trailer, it's not disqualified. But even if you don't apply that, we're still with a situation where the van fits in three different categories. One is it's used in fracturing. There's no question it's directly used. The testimony was very clear. The second is it directly controls the process. And then the third, it would be a motor vehicle. So the question is, what does the court do if it fits in more than one category? And the answer is you use primary use. And the primary use of the van is in the fracturing. And the use of it as a motor vehicle is only to get it to the place where it can then be used for that purpose. So it does qualify. If it's, I believe it's a trailer, but if it's not a trailer, under the primary use test, it still qualifies, even if it's a motor vehicle. And then in terms of the Sand Kings, for example, there's been an argument that they're storage, but the finding in this case was that it was used not for storage, but for the immediate supply of the sand. And the sand is stored off-site and brought onto this. It has the Sand King has 300,000 pounds of sand in it, but a single stage, the one time that you're turning on and off the pumps, that would require 300,000 to 500,000 pounds of sand. So these are the immediate supply.
So you could put this van on a trailer that carries vehicles, and it would never actually drive to get there. If you leased the trailer and you got it there, you wouldn't have to actually drive it to get it there.
Well, it would be on the trailer.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying is that it's not used for any other purpose other than to just do its function of monitoring and blending in order to do the fracking.
Absolutely, Your Honor. That is its sole function. And when we're talking about it being a motor vehicle, which it is a motor vehicle, but that aspect of it is solely to get it to the place. It is a command post is what it is. That's its primary use. That's its real utility. And, we're not using it to move people or anything like that around. It's a command post. And once it's there, it's just stationary, and it's used for this purpose. So,
and the trailer itself is exempt under these regulations, correct?
Yes. So it says trailer, too. It doesn't say semi-trailer, but the trailers are exempt. So everything is a motor vehicle here, and they're not objecting to the others. But
I just really have a hard time with that argument, right? I mean, you've got a statute that specifically says trailers are exempt, motor vehicles are not. It seems pretty easy to distinguish between what's a trailer and what's a motor vehicle.
You could have a motorized trailer, is our point. But let me.
But you could have a motorized. But the legislature clearly made that distinction. The legislature said we're going to distinguish between trailers and motor vehicles. So, I mean, it's pretty hard. I mean, it seems a little disingenuous for you to sit here and say, well, all trailers are motor vehicles, therefore they fit in both, and the legislature didn't mean anything by the statute they wrote.
If I concede that they're not trailers, the data van is not a trailer, that it is a motor vehicle, we should still prevail under the primary use test. Because it isn't a situation, this has been suggested, you have two categories. You have little I and two little I, and they're both, these are exempt and these are taxable. They say, if you find it's taxable, game over. But that isn't the proper analysis. It should be, well, if it's both, so if it's a motor vehicle, you say no. But if it's used directly in fracturing, you say yes. And also, if it's used in control.
But that's really not the way the statute's written, right? The statute's written is that it has to be used directly in fracking.
Yes.
And it cannot be in it, and it has to be a things transferred. They both have to.
The thing transferred is just simply the way of describing what's exempt and what's
right,
taxed.
Right. Right. So it has to meet both those things, not one or the other, but both.
Well, a thing transferred if it fits within one of the categories, and the particular data van, the command post, does qualify in hydraulic fracturing. And then you say, is it a motor vehicle? Yes, it is a motor vehicle. But I think what the argument is, well, if it's in the bad side, that's it, you're done. Our argument is that it can be in the good and bad, and then you have to analyze which is more important, which is the primary use. And the primary use of this motor vehicle, and agreed it's a motor vehicle, primary use is in the hydraulic fracturing. So we would submit that even if it is not qualifying under the as a trader, it still qualifies as used primarily in hydraulic fracturing. One of the things that's going on here is the Board of Tax Appeals is applying a very stringent thumb on the scale in terms of analyzing the statute. We would propose that we're not to get rid of the narrow construction for exemptions, but to make it less prominent. We would propose that the first step should always be to read the words of the statute, the actual words that the General Assembly used. And if that answers the question, then you're entitled to the exemption.
But if the vehicle actually fits the definition of motor vehicle, how do we layer over that primary use?
Yes. Well, the primary use has been, there are a number of cases that have applied primary use over the years. There's a decision in 1969 that tells you how to apply in the manufacturing area, and that would be really relevant. It's the primary use of something.
But the statute is fairly recent.
And yes.
So don't we have to be cautious that perhaps the legislature said, we don't want your interpretation of this. This is what we mean.
Well, I think that we're changing the entire range for the exemption, and I think that they were saying that if it's used in hydraulic fracturing, directly in hydraulic fracturing, it's entitled to exemption. And they provided a number of categories, but they're not exclusive. It can be including but not limited to. I do think you have to put the statute together, and if you don't find that it's clear, I would submit you should be using the canons of construction that are designed to reach what the General Assembly intended before you finally get, as a last resort, to the narrow construction of the statute. I see that I'm 2 minutes here. I would like to reserve the rest of my time, if that's all right, Your Honor.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Kim.
Madam Chief Justice, fellow justices, good morning. May it please the court. Let me actually start with something that Mr. Bernard said, that he said if the items of equipment here at issue here don't qualify, then he would argue that nothing does.
I want to talk about two pieces of equipment.
Okay.
Let's start with the hydration unit.
Okay.
The way I understand it, pulls the water out of the tank, mixes it with some gel, some friction reducer, so the oil can come up, and then pumps it over to the blender, right?
Right.
So how can that not be a primary purpose versus just a holding tank?
Well, so
it's doing three different things that I know of.
Well, so you got to step to answer your question, Your Honor. You have to step back to what's the relevant criterion here, and And Mr. Bernard, he said a very in cursory fashion and tried to be dismissive of it almost, but the question here is whether something is being used directly in the production of crude oil or natural gas. That word, directly.
Directly, yeah.
That has not changed. The statutory amendment that's at issue here.
Why would you use a hydration unit for anything else?
Necessity is not a criterion here. It's whether it's directly used. That line is
direct use, isn't it?
It's not, Your Honor, because it is the General Assembly, you know, however many years ago when it first put in the word directly, and then this court interpreted that word. It drew a line. The General Assembly and this court drew a line between what is what are exempt, things like the missile, the thing that's actually shooting the liquid or the mixture into the well to bring the oil to the surface, versus all the things that are preparatory or preliminary to that. So there is a line that's been specifically defined, and that line is unchanged by this amendment.
But the primary purpose of the hydration unit is for fracking.
But Your Honor, respectfully, the question here is not what the primary purpose is of a particular.
Well, it's directly used for that. What else is it used for?
That's the crux here. I mean, respectfully, I would say that the issue of this notion of primary use—that's Mr. Bernard's language. The question here is whether something has been directly used in the production, and that line is nothing that the BTA said in its first decision that went up to the 10th District and that went back, and then it's now saying on remand, the analysis of directly whether something is being directly used, that analysis has not changed from day one, and so.
Well, let's talk then. The hydration unit sends it over to the blender. And the blender, you throw in some sand,
right,
to slow things down a little bit.
So
why would you do that if you're not fracking?
Well, again, Your Honor, the question is not whether or not it is somehow plays a role in the process or whether it is even integral or necessary to the process or even being used pursuant to the process.
It's directly used in that process.
But according to this court and according to the long case law, that is not directly used because that is preparatory and preliminary to the actual act of bringing the oil to the surface. But
if you don't do it, you can't bring the oil to the surface.
True. Fair enough, but this court has with the Kilbarger case, the Lyons case, these cases they've made clear distinctions in the fact that there are certain types of equipment that will be exempt and certain types of equipment that won't be exempt. This is not an all or nothing proposition here. This is not a situation where this is a whole fracking operation and therefore the entire operation.
No, I understand. I mean the water tanks, the fracking tanks. That's kind of preparatory. But when you take the gel and mix it with the water and you mix it together and then you pump it over to the blender, that's not mere preparation, that's activity.
But it's activity that's not directly involved with the production of the crude oil or natural gas.
Well, if you don't have it, you don't get natural gas or oil.
But it's still a step removed. Mr. Berner wants, and Stingray wants to talk about this being a simultaneous and instantaneous process.
It's a continuous process.
It's still sequential.
It's continuous.
It is continuous, but it's still sequential. This is not a situation where there's an exemption in the tax code for things like continuous manufacturing operations. This is not that. This is very different language, and it has always been very different language. So this is not a situation where that is in play. The General Assembly could have amended the language to make it such. So that every piece.
What did the General Assembly accomplish by its amendment? Under your theory of the case, the amendment means nothing, right? Under your theory of the statutory language, what did the amendment change?
The amendment clarified by providing examples of and non-exhaustive lists, but providing examples of things that could qualify as a thing transferred. as well as having a separate list of things that expressly do not qualify as a thing transfer.
But it's the directly used language remains, right?
Yes, exactly. Which is why I would submit, Your Honor, that this is.
Is your theory that under the amendment, less things are exempt?
No, Your Honor. I would submit, and the tax commissioner would submit that there is no more expansion or pullback in terms of what is exempt or what is not.
So the amendment accomplished nothing. It means exactly the same thing.
The amendment accomplished the ability to clarify what could qualify as exempt, and more importantly, what
doesn't. Give me an example of something that, under your theory, was not exempt before the amendment, but now is exempt.
Well, if you're asking the question that respect, I would submit in this particular case that
just anything. Give me one thing.
That
in any case.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that then?
In any case, just give me one thing that would be changed by the amendment.
I think it's hard. I'm hard pressed to come up with a specific example, but the idea is here that it is eliminating the potential confusion over, well, you have this particular piece of equipment that, in some context or in some uses, might be directly used, but in another scenario might not be directly used. And so it's clarifying that
well,
you have to look at the use.
How does it clarify? Because under your theory, you've got to meet the thing transferred, and you have to be directly used. So it doesn't provide any clarity under your theory as to what's directly used, at least what you're telling me.
What it does provide clarity in, Your Honor, is that, first off, being a thing transferred is a necessary but not sufficient provision to be exempt, for something to be exempt, because you have to be a thing transferred and then be directly used. What this does provide clarity in is something that you touched on when you were asking Mr. Berner questions, is that there are specific items that are not expressly
So the purpose of the amendment was to make clear some things were taxable, were not exempt.
I would say that might be.
This was a pro-government, anti-taxpayer kind of amendment.
Oh, I would respectfully not go there, Your Honor.
What you're saying is what the amendment accomplished was to make clear that more things were not exempt.
I think it was clear. It was clarifying what is not exempt. I wouldn't say that there's more things or less things that are exempt, because. Everything that was exempt in this particular case before is still exempt now. The missiles and the manifolds that were, it's more than $2 million worth of.
So nothing changed.
That was exempt before and it's exempt now still.
Counsel, so nothing changed.
I think for this court's purposes, to the extent that this court needs to look at what is being directly used and not directly used, yes, that's correct.
Nothing changed.
Nothing has changed. The question then becomes: Can you immediately rule something out by virtue of it not expressly not being a thing transferred, because you have this nice enumerated list of these things are expressly not a thing transferred? Then you don't even have to get to the question of whether it's directly used. Even if you have some confusion or uncertainty, or even if you have something that squarely fits within the enumerated list of this is a thing transferred for purposes of the statute, you still have to then figure out, well, the statute says to use or consume a thing transferred directly in the production. So then you still have to figure out it's whether or not that thing transferred, even if we had to concede that. You still have to figure out whether it's directly used. And that's the linchpin here.
So the amendment basically made things less clear.
No, Your Honor. I would say that what it did was it focused on what could qualify as a thing transferred or what may not qualify as things transferred. But
so it didn't clarify anything. It's could, must, might.
I think what it did do very tellingly is it didn't change the requirement for being directly used, or even how to construe that requirement. That part's completely unchanged.
Okay.
So, and again, very tellingly, it did not the amendment made no specification as to how this court should view the word directly.
But what do we take from the fact that the legislation gave a pretty large list now and went out and defined these different items that do not qualify as a thing transferred for purposes of the exemption? Is the legislature telling us just take us at face value literally because we've given you now this very large list?
Well, I would say for purposes of if there's something that squarely fits on the list of this is not a thing transferred, then it saves the trouble of figuring out, well, maybe in this situation it could be exempt and maybe in this situation it's not. It makes that part clear. And so it simplifies for that purpose. But beyond that, Your Honor, I think, again, we're kind of getting away from the picture here of, you know, focusing on whether or not something is a thing transferred or could be a thing transferred or definitely isn't, because you still have to view on what is being, whether something is being directly used. And that analysis and all those cases that talk about something is being directly used or something is not being directly used, none of that has been implicated by the statutory amendment.
So before the 10th District sent this back to the Board of Tax Appeals, it said in paragraph 24, the process of extracting crude oil and natural gas by hydraulic fracturing appears to be complex. The precise function and use of each piece of equipment must be assessed based on the definition of production, as well as the list of items qualifying or not qualifying as a thing transferred to determine if the exemption applies. So is that what the Board of Tax Appeal, do they follow that paragraph?
Oh, certainly, Your Honor, because the question here is, again, the one thing that hadn't happened and that I guess needed to happen with this new statutory amendment is, well, the BTA and the tax commissioner, nobody had opined on whether or not under the new statute where the equipment at issue falls under on the, you know, whether it's a thing transferred or not thing transferred. And this is what I argued at the 10th District, is that exercise is all well and good and all important with respect to the statute, but then you still need to talk about whether something is being directly used. And so when it got sent back to the BTA did talk about, well, whether something fits within one of those two enumerated lists of thing transferred. You know, it's important to recognize, Your Honor, that Mr. Bernert talks about, you know, the liberal construction for purposes of remedial legislation or whatever. It needs to be, you know, to the extent it needs to be liberal, the entire legislation needs to be viewed that way. I mean, or at least the entire amendment. And so what he would like is for this court to conclude that, oh, well, the things of what could be a thing transferred, the list of that should be viewed expansively, but then the things that the list of what's not a thing transferred, that should be viewed restrictively. I mean, I would submit that it all should be viewed liberally, but I would also submit that none of that ultimately matters, because you still have the question and the analysis of the directly used requirement, and one, Mr. Bernert doesn't make an attempt to go through that analysis before this court, and two, none of that has been implicated by the statutory amendment.
So I want to go back to Justice DeWine's question in how the statute operates. So for the sake of argument, it is consumed or used directly in the production. So under B42Q, there is this, any of these items, things transferred, you would agree that the use of any is non-exhaustive?
Oh, yes, and I've said that so much.
That's step one. Okay. So if I find that any of these things are directly used in this non-exhaustive list and anything else, then I am called to go to things transferred do not include, and then I'm giving a limited list. So if they're included up above, I made that decision, then I go to the next step of the statute, and those come out?
I'm not sure that I get your question. Could you?
42Q, subsection 2. A thing transferred does not include, and they give a list.
Yes.
So if it's used in production, but that it's also listed below, it can't be given an exemption. I'm thinking of the van. So his question was about the van. Even if it's used in production, it's the command center.
Okay.
It's the heart, the hub of every single fracking operation. But then when you get to 42Q2, vehicles are specifically restricted from having an exemption.
Okay. I see what your question is, Your Honor.
Is that how the statute truly operates? You put it in and then you take it out.
No, Your Honor, I would respectfully say no, because your hypothetical there kind of presumes that in the example of the data van, that is, it is being used directly in the production of
for purposes of hypothetical, it's directly used, so it falls into that category because 2 says motor vehicles cannot be included. Does it come out?
If you were to conclude that something is being used directly, if something is being used to consume a thing transferred directly in the production of crude oil or natural gas, then that necessarily means that it has to be a thing transferred. And so I would say that scenario wouldn't happen. Because for you to conclude that it's used or something is used or consumed, something is used for consuming a thing transferred, then yes, then necessarily it has to be a thing transferred, and therefore it wouldn't be.
So therefore, can I just finish one second? So therefore, hypothetically, if the court would find that the van is being used in production of oil and gas primarily, it meets the transferred, the fact that motor vehicles is listed in subsection 2 is irrelevant. Is that what you just said?
I'm having problems with the question only because you're asking me to assume.
It's a hypothetical.
The analysis should be, is it a thing transferred, and then is that thing transferred used directly in the production?
Thank you. Justice DeWine.
Why couldn't you do the analysis the opposite way?
Well,
consumed the thing transferred. Okay, well, it's not a thing transferred, so we know we're done. If it's not a thing transferred,
That's correct. That's certainly correct. If it's not a thing transferred, then definitely it's not exempt.
That's basically what she just asked you, right?
But the question was, if this court were to conclude that something is exempt because it's used directly, it uses or consumes a thing transferred directly in the production of crude oil or natural gas, then you've answered the other question, and so it subsumes the other question of, is it a thing transferred? Because it wouldn't make logical sense to then say.
But that really seems to be arguing against what you've been representing all along. That if a thing transferred is integral to whether or not it's used in the directly used, then we just need to look at the definition of thing transferred.
I apologize. I'm struggling with this line, if only because it is clear to me that a data van is not used directly in the production of crude oil. And if I may, just be real fast on the facts of a data van. This is not a situation. It is a room where it's a monitoring device. There's TV screens. There's buttons, there's screens or whatever, and if there's a problem, then somebody in the data van calls up the person who's at the relative other spot and says, hey, you need to raise the temperature, you need to lower the temperature, lower the pressure. It is not something that controls everything.
It's just a hypothetical.
Okay, but that's therein lies the problem that I'm having with trying to answer the question correctly, because it is not, that particular example is not being used directly. Certainly, the ultimate question is something being used directly in the and is it a thing transfer? So you've subsumed the other questions, and so.
Thank you.
So with that, I just ask that this court affirm the BTA's judgment. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Burnett.
Thank you, Your Honor. So it can be in two categories. That's a possibility. And it wouldn't be a situation where if it's in the, it's not transferred part, that disqualifies it when it also qualifies
that's not what the language says, right? The language says use or consume the thing transferred. So if it's not a thing transferred, it can't be exempt. The exemption only applies to things transferred. So this argument you're making about two categories is nonsensical.
Well, we've got to step back a little bit on things transferred because it's used in a number of situations in the code.
It is used in a number of situations, but it's used directly when it defines what's exempt and what's not.
I don't believe, Your Honor, the General Assembly said there's two categories, little I, two little I, and that the second one, the non-taxable piece.
The use tax does not apply where the purpose of the purchaser is to use or consume the thing transferred.
But if I use it as in hydraulic fracturing, then it is a thing transferred. So it can be a thing transferred and
But except you have a definition that says these things are not things transferred, right? I mean, you just have to be able to read.
I don't know. Your Honor, I do think they stand on equal footing. The thing transferred is the way to effectuate it. I mean, I take your point, but I do believe those two categories, the way that you're reading it, then if it fits in the second category, game over. It doesn't matter whether it also qualifies otherwise. And I think the intention was that both of them were important, both parts of the statute.
Well, if that's why wouldn't the legislature say that if that's what they wanted?
Your Honor, I think reading the statute, pulling it together, I think that is the effect of the statute. If I could take just one second on the question of why, does it change anything? I don't think this amendment changed the statute, but it's a response to audit policy, and it's a rejection of the audit policy that existed and which the task force wants to continue to follow. And with that, if there are no further questions, I ask that you reverse the Board of Tax Appeals. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll receive a decision by the court. Marshall, call a recess.
All rise.